Those of you who were here last week will remember that we looked at the community goal of developing a positive environment in the locality of the church, providing a safe, clean, healthy and happy place to live with a thriving community life. And this week we're looking at the community goal of overcoming loneliness. And that involves supporting and befriending those living locally to ensure that they don't feel isolated or lonely and can have people with whom they can socialise. But before we consider the issue of overcoming loneliness in our community, I'd like to make a clear distinction between being alone and being lonely. All of us can experience being alone without necessarily feeling lonely. And the Gospels record that Jesus often withdrew from his disciples and the crowds that so often surrounded him to go to lonely places. And his purpose in doing so was to be alone, so that he could pray and spend time with his Heavenly Father. When I visit my allotment in Collier Row, I often find that I'm alone. But I enjoy the peace and quiet that this provides, as it gives me the space that I need to reflect on life and to pray. And most of us, I think, enjoy having some time and space to be on our own when it's a choice that we make. Similarly, it's possible to be in the middle of a crowded room, or dare I say it, in the middle of a crowded church, and having an overwhelming feeling of loneliness. So it's that moment when being alone spills over into loneliness that we're looking at today. I'm sure all of us can remember times when we felt the acute pain of loneliness. And I can recall at the age of 22, I moved to London from Gloucestershire in the West Country. Up until that point in time, I'd lived all my life in Gloucestershire. That was the area where most of my family and friends lived. And suddenly I found myself in London, a long way from home, living in an area where I knew absolutely no one. And I remember finding the first few months after my move to London being very, very lonely indeed, until I was able to establish relationships with a new set of friends. And my loneliness only really ended when I met my lovely wife, Jackie. Similarly, I can remember how lonely my elderly father felt during the recent COVID pandemic. Living on his own following my mum's death, isolated from his church, his family and friends, all of which had a significant negative impact on his mental, physical and spiritual well-being. There are lots of circumstances that allow loneliness to come into our lives. Many of us suffer the loss of a loved one through separation, divorce, or death, all of which can result in loneliness. Families relocating to a different area can often present difficulties for children who have to move to new schools, leaving behind established friendship groups, and facing the very difficult task of making new friends at a new school. And an extreme example is that of refugees, who often find it difficult to settle in a new country, particularly when faced with learning a new language, a different culture to adapt to, and often an unwelcoming or hostile environment. I'm now going to pause for a minute and ask all of you to think of a time when you experienced the pain of loneliness. So try and remember what that felt like, or indeed how it still feels. I think most of us would agree that loneliness is not something that we would welcome. And if any of you found it difficult to think of a time when you've been lonely, then I think you should consider yourself very blessed. So what does the Bible have to say about loneliness? The Hebrew word for lonely can also be translated as isolated or desolate, both of which are very imaginative words to describe how we feel. The book of Genesis records that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God then took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. But very soon after, God realized that it was not good for man to be alone, and so decided to create a woman to be his companion. And soon after, God blessed Adam and Eve with children. So it seems right from the very beginning of creation, we were not intended to live life on our own, but as part of a wider family group. As we heard earlier in our reading, the writer of Psalm 68 describes God as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, and goes on to say that God sets the lonely in families. So God's heart is that everyone, particularly widows, orphans, and other vulnerable people, shouldn't be left to fend for themselves, but instead be established in family units. John's Gospel tells us that to all who received Jesus and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And when we confess Jesus as our Saviour, we are adopted into the family of God. Now, when we are adopted as the children of God, we enjoy all the benefits that this brings. The forgiveness of sins, a new life, hope for the future, and the promise of eternal life. However, being a child of God and being part of his family also brings new responsibilities, one of which is to love and care for each other. In our second reading today, we heard the writer of the letters of the Hebrews in his concluding remarks, encouraging those receiving the letter to keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus also makes clear that in addition to loving our brothers and sisters, we're also to love our neighbours as ourselves. And if we think about this parable, it becomes apparent that we are called to show God's love to everyone that we come into contact with. Those we love live close to, those in our workplaces, those in our schools and colleges, as well as those in our families. And we're called to treat others as we would want to be treated ourselves. In our recent sermon series, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And it seems to me that in seeking to meet the needs of the lonely in our community, we need to demonstrate love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, he often spoke in parables. And one of the parables he used related to yeast. Matthew's Gospel records that once Jesus told his disciples that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. To those people listening to Jesus who are expecting God's kingdom to arrive with a great fanfare and a show of overwhelming power, he said, "The kingdom is already here. And it's already growing." And he used the example of yeast, which slowly permeates a batch of dough, to signify the growth of God's kingdom in people's lives and throughout society. We are called, as kingdom people, to continue in the work of spreading the kingdom of God in our community and beyond. God's transformative power often seems to work in very slow and hidden ways, like yeast in a batch of dough. The ways in which the Church of the Good Shepherd reaches out to the lonely are visible manifestations or representations or signs of the kingdom of God in Collier Row. I'm sure that there are other invisible signs of this around us, such as a small act of kindness to a lonely neighbour, work colleague, or to your son or daughter as they newly arrive at university. An acknowledgement of and a welcoming word to someone who finds themselves in a situation where they don't know anyone. For example, someone who comes along alone for the first time to the Church of the Good Shepherd. In doing so, we might, as the writer of the letter to the Hebrews pointed out, entertain angels without knowing it. I'm going to hand over to Jackie now, who's going to speak to you about two specific initiatives that COGS has for overcoming loneliness.
This is your buy one, get one free moment. So, what are we specifically doing in our church family to meet the goal of overcoming loneliness? For the past 18 months, Neil and I have had the privilege and pleasure of being part of the team that runs The Meeting Place, a drop-in cafe run in the church hall. Set up 18 months ago as part of Kerry Shipley's vision to reach out to our neighbours. Very sadly, Kerry died suddenly a year ago, but we have all been proud to carry on her work in this way. Each Wednesday morning, we open the hall up from 10:30, or sometimes earlier than 10:30, till 12:30, to anyone who wants to come and share a cuppa and a chat with us. During those past 18 months, Neil and I have enjoyed getting to know the other 8 members of the church who are also part of the team running the cafe. And we have met some lovely people from our local area who come regularly or occasionally, our guests on a Wednesday morning. In our post-pandemic world, there's been a lot of research done about the effects that the past 3 years have had on society. This tells us that the pandemic only exacerbated something that was already happening, that more and more people are feeling socially isolated in our modern world. That's due to many factors and many different circumstances, and Neil has already touched on some of them, but they include the fact that families often no longer live close to each other. We leave our houses often only to get into our cars and don't stop to talk. We build 6-foot fences round our houses to keep safe. I could go on. Social isolation is currently the subject of many studies, and the consensus seems to be that being socially isolated has dire consequences for health, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So by opening up the church to our neighbours and our local community, we are seeking to reach out in Jesus' name to all those around us. We feel that our actions authenticate our message, even though our actions in this case are very simple. Provide a cup of tea or coffee, a nice biscuit, and enjoy a chat with friends. The Meeting Place is a relative baby and sits on the shoulders of its big sister, Care and Share. 25 years ago, a lovely couple called Julie and Terry Stainer responded to God's heart for the lonely and started a weekly lunch club in the church hall, still running today every Tuesday, which they called Care and Share. This club, manned by volunteers from the church, is a small community that enjoys eating together, as well as having fun activities such as quizzes and talks. Choirs visit. Members are invited to spend some quiet time in the churches, if that is helpful, as well as chatting and caring for each other. Mary Bryan told me, where's Mary? Here's your quote, Mary. Mary Bryan told me, "We don't preach the gospel, but tell it and show it by the love, care and support that all the helpers give." As with the meeting place, for some people, the only time in the week that they are able to come out and meet others. Often we hear those attending both groups say how grateful they are to be with other people, to be able to sit and chat and know that they belong and are part of this family. Each week there are about 30 guests at Care and Share, and a dozen or so at the meeting place. We've also had the privilege of working alongside the two Havering local area coordinators, Juliet and Lexi, who regularly come here on a Wednesday morning, bringing with them some of the clients they work with from our neighbouring streets. The life stories of the people who come are varied and fascinating, and time goes by very quickly for us that morning. So that's what some of us have the privilege of doing in our week. However, we don't all have the opportunity to be part of the Care and Share team or to help at the meeting place. But we do all have the opportunity to really see the lonely people who are all around us in our lives. We can ask God to show us who the lonely people are in our actual families, the ones who would benefit from a phone call or a visit. There are lonely people in our church family too, as Neil said earlier. We cannot assume that there's no one here today feeling lonely in the middle of this larger group of people. And there will certainly be those living in our streets who are isolated and alone. It can be a costly thing in terms of time and effort, but if we can reach out to others in any way, we can make their lives better and richer. Neil's and my experience is it also enriches our lives. As people open up their lives to us, we gain a huge amount from the people who come here each week. There is much laughter and sharing of life's experiences, good and bad. As we draw to a close, can we consider what God may be saying to us about his heart for the lonely? We've heard from the Bible what he says and have thought about what the church is doing in a small way to overcome the loneliness that's all around us. Let's spend a few moments thinking this through. I'd like you to listen to what I'm going to read out and use this as a prayer. So if you could position yourself in whatever position you like to be in for prayer, let's pray about this now. There may be those here today who are feeling lonely. God knows our stories. He walks with us on our journeys through life, and he wants to put us in families where we feel noticed and significant. Lord, give us eyes to see others' needs and to risk reaching out sensitively to those around us, even in crowded spaces. Show me where I can reach out to others here to show interest in their lives and listen to their story. Then let's ask God to show us someone in our lives, a relative, a friend, or a neighbour who may be lonely. And let's ask him for ways to reach out to them in love and friendship. Lord, our lives are so busy and feel crowded. Please help us to take the time to listen to you and to see if there is anyone close to us who is feeling lonely. Creator God, would you give us creative ways to walk alongside that person and to genuinely care for them. Maybe God is asking you to get involved in the work of our church in overcoming loneliness, giving some of your time to join the teams running Care and Share or the meeting place. We would always welcome more team members on a Tuesday lunchtime or a Wednesday morning, and we'd all highly recommend the joy of being part of either team. Lord, thank you that we can work together in your name to befriend those who are lonely and those who just want to belong to a family group. Thank you for the way that you bless us at Care and Share and at the meeting place. We ask that you continue to do that. I just want to add into the end here. I feel there is a huge challenge to us here, and it's bigger than Care and Share and meeting place, and it's bigger than one talk about overcoming loneliness. I feel the challenge that God is laying down here is to our selfish lives, to stop being so preoccupied with our busy lives and to start really looking at others and their needs. So easy to get focused on ourselves, so hard to spare the time and the heart to reach out to people who are really needy.
We're going to close with a prayer, committing ourselves as a church to looking out for others. Heavenly Father, would you give me opportunities this week and in the future to show true hospitality to others and to do it generously, joyfully, and without grumbling. Help me to make space in my busy life, at my table, in my home, and in my heart for others. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are lonely or on the margins today, and especially for those who are attending church for the first time or the last time. May they find themselves noticed and loved. Holy Spirit, revive your church today. Form us into the most welcoming and diverse community on earth, that the world may see your love, believe in your mercy, and receive your invitation to come home. Amen.
If you felt challenged by anything today, or you feel that you would love some prayer for the loneliness in your life or somebody else's life, as Keith said, there will be prayer ministry at the end, and we'd really invite you to come and get some prayer for anything that's touched you this morning. So thank you for listening.